We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. If you look at the list of producers and show hosts at WUWM, with just a couple of exceptions, it is nearly all female. And while the demographic breakdown varies from newsroom to newsroom, women do make up a large percentage of journalists working in the broadcast industry today.
That was most certainly not the case when Marianne Bendel was coming out of Marquette University trying to break into broadcast journalism. It was the late 1950s, and Bendel met with a great deal of opposition as she tried to make her way in the journalism world.
But persistence paid off, and Bendel eventually went on to a storied career that lasted decades and included time working at CBS, Entertainment Tonight, and USA Today. Bendel was back in Milwaukee to receive a National Alumni Award from her alma mater over the weekend, and she stopped by the Lake Effect studio to talk about her career. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So do you think of yourself as a trailblazer?
I didn't at the time. I was just trying to find work. When I got out of Marquette, I was working for a CBS U station in Milwaukee, and I got a job as like a secretary to the production manager. Which only because it was right next to the newsroom, and I was in the newsroom looking at that time a wire all the time, and they said, "No, Marianne, get out of here. We are never going to hire you as a reporter, so don't come in here." Well, I continued to go in there, and so then they said, "Well, we're not going to fire you. You can stay, but you're going to have to be the receptionist in the front of the building to keep you away from the newsroom." So I immediately quit and went to Savannah, Georgia, and started working and I was just doing television commercials and teaching and stuff there. But it wasn't until I got to Los Angeles that I was able to get an actual job in radio.
Why do you think it was that it was okay for women to do things like commercials and other aspects of the business but not be involved in journalism?
I think it was just the male set at that time of, I was offered Romper Room. I could have done that. I was offered a cooking show. I don't know how to cook. I mean, of course, those things I would have failed at. I think it was a set. This Pauline Fredericks I interviewed once, and she was told women don't have good voices for news. And so I think a lot of it was just the mindset of the times, you know?
I think you've said in interviews before that you always wanted to be a journalist.
Yes.
even before you got to Marquette, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What was the power of journalism you saw when you were young that made you decide from the beginning that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I wanted to see the world. I've been to all seven continents. So when I was a little girl growing up in rural Wisconsin, I would have a geography book in front of me, and I'd go, shut my eyes and say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, where am I going today?" and point to a country. And I'd say, "Okay, I'll go there." One day I pointed to Antarctica, and I said, "I will go there." I have no idea. To go to Antarctica, even today, unless you go with a research ship or you go with the U.S. government, you have a minder at McMurdo, you can't go there. So I got to go there for 3 months. That was the highlight of my career, I think.
So you got to Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any encouragement from the faculty there as a woman going into this business?
No.
At the same time, obviously they let you get the degree.
Well, I got a degree in speech, not journalism, but it was radio, TV, film major, and they had a thing called Radio Workshop, which I was in, and they would take like half-hour shows and put them on stations in Milwaukee. Because we didn't have a separate radio studio, but I did that. So I was able to get some experience that way. But no, they did not encourage at all.
The faculty was just like the people in the industry.
They thought
that this was no profession for a woman.
Right. Yeah.
So what did it eventually take? What was the opportunity that you finally got? I know you ended up on as a producer on Firing Line. How did you get that job?
I applied for it. There were 75 people that applied today. There'd be 7,500, and they picked me. I don't know why, but they did. And so I produced that show for a number of years, and then went on to other things. You know.
For people that aren't familiar with that show, it's a famous name. But what was that show like? What would people tune in for?
It was news information. They had a news reporter. They had, and I would basically book people that I thought would be interesting interviews. You know,
And so as someone who had not gotten a job in journalism to that point, was it instructive in terms of like learning to do interviews yourself?
Oh, yes. I mean, I listened to everybody think people were doing. I did have a job between my junior and senior year of college. I worked for a radio station. I signed it on and signed it off in Wausau, Wisconsin. It was owned by Congressman Okonski. So I had that job in the summer. But that was just a summer job, you know, and that at least gave me experience of being on air on an actual station. But, yeah, just it, the firing line was a big help.
Well, and so what were the doors that that job opened for you?
I got a chance to do some things at CBS. I did a lot of pilots, you know, things like that. It was mostly segment producing kind of stuff. And I also, you know, Entertainment Tonight, I was a segment producer and traveled all over the country for that. So it was sort of a mishmash of Catch 22 as far as what happened, you know, how I got in, how I actually got. Actually, the biggest break that I had was rather late in my career, USA Today. Newhart said he was going to hire one half women and minorities because he had grown up as the son of a working mother, and he said I'm going to give women a chance. So
this is like the late 1970s, beginning of 1980s.
No, yeah, right? It was like in the early 80s. I think it started in 81 or 82, okay. Along in there. And I was sort of like being Barbara Walters in print. I got a chance to interview movers and shakers of the world, a half-page interview, Q&A only. And I interviewed everybody from Benjamin Netanyahu twice to Zsa Zsa Gabor to Jimmy Stewart to presidents of countries, you know, just anybody who was in the news, you know.
Well, and at that point, you had been in the field for, what, probably 15 years?
Yeah.
What was it? How do you think your interview style, your writing style, your ability to get the answers that would interest people, how did that evolve?
My open Midwestern face is what I think people just trusted me, you know?
As someone who interviews people for a living, yeah. What were the kinds of interviews that you were the most comfortable doing?
People who made a difference in the world. I mean, I had a very hard time getting through an interview I did with Jonas Salk. It took me 2 years to get this interview. He hated the press. He hated reporters.
Jonas Salk, for people who don't know, the man who invented the polio vaccine.
Yeah, made sure that our kids didn't get polio. And I had a hard time getting through the interview because I kept thinking, because of you, my daughter never got polio. So those kind of people. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu, I've had a relationship. I could probably call him up and interview him tomorrow because I've interviewed him several times. First time I interviewed him, he was the ambassador to the UN. And I went away from that interview saying, this man's going to be premier of Israel someday. And everybody at the paper said, oh, come on. I said, no. He's a comer. It's going to happen. And, of course, look what's happened.
Well, I was going to say, at that point, you probably would have had no idea that, you know, he would still be leading the country in 2019.
No, he's the ultimate politician. He really is.
What are the kinds of interviews you were least comfortable doing?
Well, there was one I did with Zsa Zsa Gabor that was really uncomfortable. I mean, it's on the interview that I did with Ed Marquette. It was really kind of interesting. I sat like further away than you are now, across the room from her. She didn't want me to see her face work. And I'm sitting here, and on this side and on this side of me are two attack German shepherds. I'm totally frightened of German shepherds. And they're sitting there going, and then in the hallway, his husband is walking back and forth with tall boots on a slate floor going, chop, chop, chop. I was just terrified. I was afraid one of those dogs was going to just bite me.
Usually attack dogs are a metaphor in a case like
this.
Yeah,
but these are real, you know. And I don't know why she had them sitting on either side of me. I don't know what she thought I was going to do. But that was probably the worst. And one of the most fun interviews I did was Chuck Yeager. Just an incredible man.
What made that so much fun?
Well, I interviewed him as a way to get the Medal of Honor or from, I think it was Reagan. I don't know. But I interviewed him in the airport, and I was looking at my watch, and I was thinking, oh, my God, he's late. And all of a sudden I hear, ma'am, you could set me your watch by me. In other words, I'm going to be there when I said I'm going to be there. And he's just a very fascinating man.
And I guess if anybody would be prompt, it would be a test pilot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was, yeah. He was just an incredible man. I really liked him. And I interviewed just a lot of really interesting people, you know.
You mentioned your trip to Antarctica, and that was as part of a time that you were on board a Greenpeace ship, right?
Yes, and I learned from there, never live with your source, because I would do things and they wouldn't talk to me for a couple of days because I would tell the truth of what was going on. They expected me to be part of their team. I was not. There was a reporter there also from the Guardian, London Guardian. And so I did stuff for USA Today and the Gannett News Service. And it was an incredible experience. I'm so glad I did it. I wouldn't do it again at this point in my life. But then I guess what really got me was the silence of that continent. It is totally silent. And I felt it kept saying to us, or me, get out of here. We don't want you here. And they do everything. It does everything possible, from falling in an ice crevice to freezing to death, to keep you out of there, you know?
There are not a lot of silent places left in this world.
No, that's the only the most silent place I've ever been, where there is nothing, no sound at all. Yeah.
When you think of reporting trips like that, and you think of all the people that you have interviewed over the years and stories you have done over the years, and then you look at journalism today, what do you think of the way that this profession carries out its mission in 2019?
It's very tough. I mean, how do you get at the truth? It was Bed Bradley said, the truth is everything. I don't care what side you're looking at. If you're looking at the Democrats, you're looking at the Republicans, you're looking at senators, congressmen, the president. How do you find out the truth? I mean, you must run into that every day trying to find out, is he telling me the truth or is he blue skying me, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing that young journalists starting out today are going to have to face. How do you get to the truth?
You're back as we're having this conversation. You're getting a Lifetime Achievement Award from your alma mater, Marquette.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I gather you've had some fair amount of contact with Marquette over the years.
Yes.
What lessons would you hope journalism students who are coming out of Marquette today could take from your career?
From my career, I know that the Jesuits taught me to think logically and think before I talk. And Father Huger was my history professor, and he said, remember, Marianne, before you do anything, say to yourself, who would know? I would know. And I've used that in my journalism. I tell journalism students that all the time. Look to yourself first, and if you're being uncomfortable doing what you're going to do, don't do it, you know? But most people don't even think that way anymore. But I don't know it's really tough to give advice to young people starting the business. It's really hard today. You know?
Well, it's so different.
Yes, it's so different. You know, it's digital journalism, as you know. You know, Marquette has got some of the best equipment. They've got not one but two robotic cameras that cost about $350,000 a piece. TMJ has one. They have two. But their kids are learning state-of-the-art journalism, where they can go out of that journalism department and walk right into a studio, you know, and that's good.
It's amazing to think about a camera that's worth more than a house.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It really is.
It's interesting to think about what your professors, when you were at Marquette, who were completely discouraging when it came to whether you could go into this field. I wonder what they would think of the field and your career now.
Well, the ones who encouraged me were, as I call them, the rebels of the church, the Jesuits. They did encourage me. They just said, go for whatever dream you have. The lay professors, no. But a lot of the Jesuits encouraged me to go in and, hey, give it a try, you know?
This is the question. I get this question a lot, honestly, but I'm curious to hear your answer to it. Is there one person or a group of people out there that you wish you had a chance to interview that you haven't yet?
Well, I had an interview scheduled with Margaret Thatcher, but I canceled it because USA Today wouldn't pay for me to come in, because the week before I'd done the president of Finland, and they said, we'll have somebody else do it. And I said, no. And I called up her people and canceled it, and they never did that to me again. But, I mean, that's one I would have liked to have interviewed.
Well, Marianne Bendel, I am glad to say that I've now interviewed you.
Well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed every bit of it.
And I hope we'll have a chance to chat again.
For sure. Okay. Thank you.
Marianne Bendel's decades in journalism included work for USA Today, Entertainment Tonight, and CBS. She was in Milwaukee last weekend to receive an alumni award from her alma mater, Marquette University. You can see pictures of her from her career at a slideshow at wuwm.com.